This is our 55th study in the book of Psalms. We come today to Psalm 119, verse 46. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's begin reading in Psalm 119, 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in thy ordinances. I will keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I shall walk at liberty. For I have sought thy precepts. I will also speak of thy testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame. He will not be put to shame speaking the word of God, even before kings, he says. Jesus warns that if we are ashamed of him and his words in this sinful world, then he will be ashamed of us before the Father and the angels. We can feel intimidated, as long as we don't let that intimidation stop us from speaking the word of God. That's when it becomes a problem. Verse 46 and 47, I will also speak of thy testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame. For I find my delight in thy commandments, which I love. God gave us his commandments to help us live life in this world, on this earth, to try to maintain some form of sanity in this world of sin, to try to give us a decent life. I mean, we have a chance at a fairly decent, normal life if we follow the commandments of God. And that's not the only reason that he gave us his commandments, but he did give us his commandment to help us live on earth. There may be momentary pleasure in sin, but there is a bedrock of solid joy and peace which accompanies a decent, normal life when one obeys God's commandments. 48. I revere thy commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on thy statutes. Anyone who meditates on God's law, that is, anyone who really thinks about them, will see the wisdom in them and learn to appreciate them. 49. Remember thy word to thy servant, in which thou hast made me hope. The only thing that we can depend on in this world, all the time, 100% of the time, is the word of God. That's it. You can't depend on people. People can't depend on us. Not all of the time. People will fail. I'm not saying they'll fail on purpose, necessarily, but people are weak and they fail. God's word is always true. It is always dependable 100% of the time. No wonder Scripture teaches that God's word is more valuable than gold. You can depend on it. 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, that thy promise gives me life. There's no comfort for those who suffer and do not know the Lord. They can wish for better things, but that's useless. That's just plain make-believe. At least those of us who are Christians, walking with the Lord, right with God through Jesus Christ, at least we know that better times are coming, if not in this world, then in the next. God's word comforts us, gives us hope, a sure hope. And we know it all because of what God's word says. 51. Godless men utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from thy law. Nothing stopped him from obeying God's law. He was picked on because he was good and he tried to obey God. But that didn't stop him from being good. And that sort of steadfastness can make the bad guys even more ornery when they see that they're not getting to you. But he just remained steadfast. He says, "When I think of thy ordinances from of old, I take comfort, O Lord." He says that God's ordinances, or God's law, is from of old. God's laws are ancient. And that's because morality does not change. People say, well, we have a new morality now. Maybe they don't say that anymore. The corner has already been turned. But back in the late 60s and 70s, I suppose, early 70s anyway, people used to always talk about the new morality. We have a new morality now. Things that used to be wrong are no longer wrong. Well, that's wrong. Because it's true. Things that people used to call wrong are no longer called wrong. But that hasn't changed morality. Wrong is always wrong. Right is always right. God's definition of right and wrong doesn't change because of popular opinion. 53. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake thy law. He loves God's law. So he is angry because there are some who don't care about what God commands. Bothersome. We can't love God without hating sin. If there isn't a hatred for sin, there isn't a love for God. If there isn't a disgust with people who sin and don't care about God, there isn't a love for God. We can't love God unless we hate what God hates. 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. He says, when I sing your word. Those are the lyrics. His music was based on scripture. And that's what I like really about the old hymns. I got to say, when I was a younger Christian, you know, I didn't really care for them that much. I didn't appreciate them like I should. But as time goes on, I appreciate them more and more. And that's because the writers of a lot of these older hymns, they really knew the Bible. They were like theologians. And their songs were rich in scriptural truth. You could get a, you know, theological lesson just from reading the words of their music. 55. I remember thy name in the night, O Lord, and keep thy law. Sleepless nights aren't much fun, but they aren't bad if you're awake praying, or if you're awake thinking about God. The sleepless nights aren't much fun, but it's nice to know in those situations, when you wake up in the middle of the night, that God didn't wake you up to rebuke you for being bad. That's worth an awful lot. I've been awakened, you know, for that reason, more than once. And so whenever I wake up in the middle of the night, and it's not God, you know, yelling at me, it feels good. There's peace. And so it pays to keep God's commandments. For more than one reason, it pays. And that's one of them right there. 56. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept thy precepts. He had what he had because he obeyed the word of God. He had peace because he obeyed the word of God. He had good memories of God because he obeyed the word of God. He had the will to sing the word of God and hope in God's promises because he kept the law of God. None of these things would have been true if he had not kept the law of God. There are none of these things that give joy for those who rebel against God. They are only there for those who obey God. 57. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep thy words. The writer is saying, God, you're mine. You are mine. You are my portion. You're mine, and I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to obey you. You're my portion. Very important lesson here. Salvation is a personal thing. We must know God as an individual on that level, one-on-one. It's not enough to simply know of him. That's not going to get you anywhere with God. You have to know him. It's like Jesus said, on the day of judgment, he will say, depart from me and to everlasting fire, because I never knew you. And he's saying that to a lot of people who are very religious. Religion doesn't cut it. Ritual doesn't cut it. Nothing cuts it. You got to know Jesus on a personal level, not simply know of him. God has to be more than just a higher power to us. We must really know him, one-on-one, or we're in big trouble. 58, I entreat thy favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to thy promise. He says, I entreat your favor with all of my heart. God's not interested in half-hearted devotion. No one is perfect, but God insists on us having the want to. We have to have the want to. Love the Lord your God, Jesus said, with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. He's not interested in half-hearted devotion. In fact, it makes him sick. He said to the church at Laodicea, just get hot or cold, one or the other. But this lukewarm stuff is making me sick. I want to spit you right out of my mouth. That's what Jesus said. 59. When I think of thy ways, I turn my feet to thy testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep thy commandments. In other words, when he realizes that he isn't living the way he should, whenever he realizes that, he quickly reverses his course and heads for God once again. The world, our flesh, and the devil can move us in the wrong direction. What God expects is for us to snap out of it the moment we realize what we are doing. And that's what he says he does, snaps out of it. 61. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget thy law. No one can force us to sin, which is why we are accountable for the sins we commit. The wicked were trying to pull David into sin, but he hung on to the word of God, and he wouldn't give in. So it just illustrates that fact, that that's the way it is. No one can force us to sin. That's why God holds us accountable. You say, well, you don't know my childhood, what it was like. Well, no one can force you to sin. And you say, it wasn't easy to not sin, but we still have a free will. 62. At midnight I rise to praise thee because of thy righteous ordinances. This guy had a heart for God. He woke up at midnight and praised God. Now, you don't do that to impress people. No one does it to impress people when they do it that way. When you pray or praise at midnight or any other time when you are all alone, you know you're doing it because of your faith in God and respect for God. You're sure not doing it to be seen by others, like the Pharisees used to do it. Verse 63. I am a companion of all who fear thee, of those who keep thy precepts. One of the best things we can do for our spiritual life is to spend time with people who put God first. If we spend too much time with those who don't care about God, our spiritual life is bound to suffer. 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy steadfast love. Teach me thy statutes. Every good thing in this world, every drop of rain, every cool breeze, every ray of sunshine, every soul that repents and is forgiven is an act of God's steadfast love, an act of his mercy. That's what that means. It is his mercy. Because by rights, this world and all of us shouldn't have anything good. We should all just be destroyed immediately because of our sin. 65. Thou hast dwelt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. He was God's servant, and God kept his word to him. There are no promises of good to those who rebel against God, only warnings of bad. 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in thy commandments. The writer knows the Lord, but, as is the case with us all, there is still room for growth, and so he prays for judgment and knowledge. As we grow in knowledge of God's word, our ability to judge right and wrong increases with it. That's the only thing that causes it to increase. You want to have that very sharp edge on your conscience to judge what is right and wrong? As you grow in knowledge of God's word, your ability to judge right and wrong will increase right along with it. The more the word of God you put in you, the sharper your conscience becomes. 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. It's easy for the foolish to talk smart about rebelling against God, and so many of them do. Crack jokes about God, sit around, get drunk, do other sinful garbage, and crack jokes about being punished by God. God will get us for this. Making a joke out of it. Some people take a very light approach to God and to judgment until they get a taste of God's punishment. Then they wise up pretty quick. If they are smart, they wise up pretty quick. 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. There wouldn't be any point in knowing God's law and knowing God's will and following it if he wasn't good. God is good, which is why he never steers us in the wrong way. 69. The godless besmear me with lies, for with my whole heart I keep thy precepts. When people make up lies about you, when they say bad things about you, which are not true, of course, that can be hard to take. But you can still have peace knowing that God knows the truth. The key for us is to stay close to God. Then the insults or the lies or the slander, it stings, but it doesn't destroy. Our part is to obey God. God will take care of those who say things about us which are not true in his good time. We must remain focused on being right with God. That's the important thing. 69. The godless besmear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep thy precepts. Their heart is gross like fat or fat like grease, but I delight in thy law. He is contrasting himself, who delights in God's law, who wants to keep God's law, who wants to stay close to him, with those who do not care about God. And he says their hearts are fat like grease. And you know what that means? That's just an expression that means stupid. You say you shouldn't use that word. It fits. There's no better word to describe one who will not obey their creator and judge and doesn't care that they don't obey their creator and judge. You're not going to obey, and you don't care that you're not going to obey the one who created you, the one who keeps your heart beating, your lungs breathing, who keeps your atoms from exploding into outer space. You don't care about obeying somebody like that? You don't care about obeying God? You don't care about obeying the one who is your judge, who you will stand before in eternity and who will determine whether you go to heaven or hell? You don't care about that person? Hey, you're not very smart. No matter how high their IQ may be, they are not very smart. 71. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Many people come to God during horrible times that are brought on by their sin. Lots of people come to Christ in a hospital room or a prison. Lots of people come to Christ because they come home one day to discover that their husband or wife has left them because they couldn't take their sin anymore. And that finally wakes them up. hard times, losing something, sometimes wakes people up. 72, the law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And that's why he loved God's law so much. And that's why he loved God's even judgment so much. He says, the law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. See, because God's punishment caused him to take God seriously, he valued that punishment. And he valued the law of God more than he did wealth. I mean, that did more for him than, you know, any big bag of gold could have done. Trouble has a way of straightening out priorities. What does it profit a person if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Is the priority that Jesus taught us to have. And a lot of times people don't get that priority until they suffer loss. 73. Thy hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. In other words, since you made me, Lord, could you work in me and give me the ability to understand your ways? I mean, you've made me. You put me together. You know how I work. Help me to understand your ways. Give me the ability to do that. He had the want to. If we offer God the want to, he will give us understanding in increments that we can handle. He doesn't blast us with full understanding all at once because we couldn't handle it. We couldn't process it. 74. Those who fear thee shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in thy word. If we study the word of God, then those who really have a heart for God will enjoy our company. Those who do not will not. 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. In other words, I sinned. And I had your punishment coming, God. And further, even though it's not fun, it's the best thing that ever happened for me. Best thing that ever happened. We should not complain when God disciplines us to draw us closer to him. We don't have to like it, but we should acknowledge that it is good for us, because that's the truth. We'll pick it up in verse 76 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.